Okay, as we move closer to Seder, I want to use this evening to talk a little bit about the significance of the kittel, widespread custom throughout Klal Yisrael to wear white at the night of the Seder. So actually, it's a little bit of a transition from what we were discussing yesterday, the significance of yachatz and breaking the middle matzah. So yesterday we said, yesterday we were talking about the connection to the avodas parach, the backbreaking labor. A few weeks ago in the drasha, we discussed the wearing the white at the Seder, paralleling, as Maharal explains, the Kohen Gadol who would wear only white when he would enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and appreciating the momentous occasion that the Seder represents, paralleling entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, Kodesh HaKadoshim, on Yom Kippur. Along those lines, I just saw today, quoted from the Machzor Vitri, one of the Talmidim of Rashi, that the breaking of the matzah actually represents the pesisin, the breaking of the Korban Mincha. And the mincha was brought every single day by the Kohen Gadol, and on the time of initiation of a new Kohen, the specific way in which you crack the matzahs and then put on the mizbeach, which again reflects the idea we spoke of at that time, that we wear the kittel to represent the fact that we've been elevated. Pesach means to skip. The Mefarshim say that the Hasidic Sforim talk about the ability to jump to new heights. On the night of Pesach, and even to parallel the levels of the Kohen Gadol. But we're going to shift for a little bit because the Taz says that the reason why we wear white at the Seder is for something else. He says the nature of the evening is one which is punctuated with elegance and luxury and simcha. You know, the Rama says when it comes to Purim, you just need to drink more wine than you normally drink. The night of the Seder, you actually have to drink more than that. You have to drink four cups. So there's an element of merriment and simchas yontif in general, and of course the very special exuberance that accompanies the experience of the Seder. So as a result, it's important to be maskil yom hamisa, to remind yourself, you know, unfortunately where we all are headed, and we wear the kittel, the clothing that we garb the mace with before burial. So it helps just a person maintain their senses, keep their feet on the ground, and not let the happiness of the Seder get out of hand. So it's a little bit difficult to imagine that we want to introduce that not just somber, but that the mortality and it's even more than that. The sobering nature of the Bimasu Yom HaMisa, is that really supposed to take away? And it's inevitable that is going to take away a little bit from the Simchas Halayla. So what is that all about? So maybe on a deeper level, we can represent the following. We don't do this on any other Yom Tov, right? There's a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov on Sukkot and Shavuos. We don't dress in white. There's something else that's accomplished over here. And this goes back to a famous statement of the Radbaz. The process of ridding our homes of chametz, which we know comes along with the arduous task of cleaning every crack and crevice, choron u'stakin, where the bedikas chametz is supposed to take place, the rush brings from the Yishalmi. There used to be a practice to scrape the walls of the house before Pesach to make sure that there was no chametz. And the rush says, even though that seems to be really far-fetched, you know, unless you, I've seen kids do this, you know, take your gum, you take your you know, throw it against the wall, what are you scraping off the walls? So the Rosh says, nevertheless, Yisrael Kedoshim Haim, we don't denigrate, we don't make fun of any practice that the Baal Bustas exercise in cleaning the house from top to bottom for Pesach. I once heard a rabbi, I guess he was joking, but he had a plumbing problem right before Pesach, Erev Yontif Mamish, and he was coming up the elevator in his apartment building with a brand new toilet. Someone walks into the elevator and says, never seen that chumra before. But, okay, you know, Yisrael Kedoshim Haim, we don't ask questions. Whatever it takes to clean the house on Pesach, that's what we do. So it seems to be the one explanation for this very extraordinary effort that's necessary. It goes back to the Ravad. The Ravad says that the Gemara in Brachos talks about one of the Amoraim who would daven at the end of the Shemona Esrei, would add a passage to the Ribbono Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our true desire is to serve you and to follow your will. But what can we do? The Sor Shabbeisa, the leaven in the dough prevents us from doing what we want to do. And that's that gives rise, no pun intended, to the mushel of the chametz representing the Yetzer Hara. That the inflation of the ego, the inflation of my own desires and self-centeredness that happens with the chimutz process is negated by having the flatbread which is devoid of all chametz. But that's a representation. The Sor Shabbeisa is the expression that's what propels us forward to the Yetzer Hara is pushing us. That's not really what our ratzon is. So the chametz is in that search and destroy, that desire to rid our house entirely is really representative of what we're supposed to accomplish. Also, as we purify ourselves for Pesach, is to rid ourselves of the Yetzer Hara. What the chametz represents and the act of destroying and removing from our home is meant to encourage us to do the same when it comes to searching deep inside of ourselves and ridding ourselves of the influence of the Yetzer Hara. That's why we go so far. So the Nevi Minsk Rebbe suggested That's the lo saseh side of things, so to speak. That's the negation of that aspect of the Yitzhahara. But there's another set of suggestions that Chazal gave us earlier on in the Gemara in Brachos. It says over there, La'olam yargiz adam yetzer hatov al yetzer hara. The person has to really work hard and build up the yetzer hatov to fight against the yetzer hara. The Gemara says, what if it doesn't work? What if you still have this pull towards what you're not supposed to do? So the Gemara says, it's a three-step process. The first is yasuk b'Torah. Go learn the power of Torah. Chazal say, barasi Torah, Talmud Torah, barasi yetzer hara, barasi Torah tavlin. There is an inherent koach when one learns to counteract the pull of the Yitzhar. That's number one. Number two, if that doesn't work, it says you should be Kori Kriyashma. You should read Kriyashma. Number three is, if not, Yaskulo Yomamisa. If those first two suggestions don't pan out, then your third option, your third plan of attack is to remind yourself of the day of death. To connect it to the Seder, so the Neverman Scrub explains, the first one, Yasuk B'Torah, in our effort to rid ourselves of the Yitzhar, the source of Isa, that's really the body of the Seder. Magid is Talmud Torah. Magid is taking the psukim, darshaning them, and trying to extract the lessons of the text of the Exodus and what that teaches us. That's Talmud Torah. Kolosho Amar Shosha Dorm, that's learning about the Hilchos HaPesach. Okay, that's all the efforts of Talmud Torah at the Seder. The truth is, and just another great irony in history, is that the notion of staying up all night when it comes to Shavuos, something that is only found in the Magen Avraham, according to the Talmino of the Arizal, it's not really on the books. It's not an absolute chiyuv whatsoever, but it's something which every little kid wants to do, to order and maximize his cheesecake and treats and other things like that. But it does say in the Ramah, it's a Tosefta, that after the Seder is over, a person should continue learning until sleep overtakes him. Okay, that's a din. That's in Shulchan Aruch. So Talmud Torah is a core element of the Seder. If that doesn't work, what's the next thing? Kriyashma. So ironically, we actually cut back on our Kriya Shema on the night of the Seder. Le'el Shimurim, we're only supposed to read the first parak. So what is Kriya Shema really about? It's about Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim. Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Is it reminding us simply of the fact that there's one God, not two and three and four? No, Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim means there's one and only one Ratzon, one prevailing will that needs to guide all of our decisions. We should always ask ourselves, is this what Hashem wants, or is this not what Hashem wants in this given situation? How is that expressed? One expression, as we mentioned the other night, is 64 mitzvos. 64 mitzvos on the night of the Seder, packed into a short amount of time. Kabbalah Amal HaShemayim ultimately boils down to appreciating that every step we take, every move we make, is guided by the Ratzon Hashem. That is Hashem Echad. And that is a very, very critical expression of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. I would say, in addition to that, the Rebbe also highlights that when we relate to the Nisim, we're supposed to talk about the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed in Yetzias Mitzrayim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu breaks nature and demonstrates that he's in control of nature. That's another aspect of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. There's only one prevailing power in our actions and in the universe at large, because he is the creator. If all that fails, so number three is Yasu L'Yom HaMisa. I remember, maybe I mentioned this before, my family for a short time lived in Eretz Yisrael. We lived in Ramot, a beautiful merpeset, looking over the valley at the entrance to Yerushalayim, and I would go out Shal Shudas time and watch the sunset over Har Menuchos. A very powerful scene. A morbid scene, a sobering scene, but a very powerful scene. But I think, because we're trying to at least suggest that we can move away from the morbidity at the night of the Seder, that's how we started with that Taz, I think there's something more to this. Interestingly enough, there's a Hasidus Sefer, okay, a Haggadah by Rabbi Ramshur, and he quotes Rav Schwab, okay? Once again, we can come back to Rav Schwab. But the German legacy somehow made it into this Hasidus Sefer, and he says Rav Schwab explained that the significance of the kittel is altogether different. The reason why you wear the kittel at the Seder is because, yes, maskulo yom ha-misa, but not so you should walk around, tzebrochen and contemplating death, but because, as we highlighted the other night, the number one way to drive home the degree of importance and significance of this night is, if you think about it, on a person's deathbed, Rahman al-Islam, they have a few moments left with their children. What do they want to do? They want to impart the messages that will stay with them forever. They want to create a legacy that everyone who's listening will take with them, pass on to their own children, something that will be the core of what they leave behind in this world. You wear the kittel to appreciate the fact that when you stand at the Seder, when you sit around the table and you're communicating the emunah of Yetzias Mitzrayim, this is your chance. This is your ke'ilu, the final moments. Remind yourself that we're not here forever, and if you don't take the opportunity to pass on that legacy now, When's it going to happen? As a matter of fact, I just saw today one of the sons of Rav Schwab recalls in the introduction to the English version of the Haggadah. He says that was one time they were drinking a little too much at the Seder. The wine started to get to them. They were a little giddy and they were joking around. And father became extremely serious. Father, meaning Rav Schwab, became extremely serious, took hold of the kittel with both hands and said, I will be buried in this kittel. And I will take the truths of our faith with which we are learning here tonight to my grave. And you're laughing? In other words, he was actually acting out the pshat that he gave in the kittel to remind the one who's leading the Seder, the responsibility, the grave significance, the weighty and important, momentous nature of the Leil HaSeder, is that this is when I really give over what will last, what I pray, what I hope will be the takeaway that long after I'm gone, my children and grandchildren, so forth, will be the carriers of and bearers of the emuna that emerges from Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we wear the kittel not so that we should be, unfortunately, all this, hevel havalim, hakol havel, why are we rejoicing? It's all meaningless. No, but to impress upon the leader of the Seder how critical is that responsibility on your shoulders on this night to pass on the messages that would be as important to you as if these were your final words forever to your children and to your children's children.